Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Thanks for joining us. Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studio. It's been another wild week. Full disclosure, we were recording this before the final night of the RNC. So if something crazy happens there and we don't talk about it, sorry. So,
well, we could, I mean, if it gets too crazy, we'll find a way. We'll figure it out.
All right. But anyway, the whole country right now is talking about Kenosha, Wisconsin. And that revolves around the...
Which has never happened before.
Like
the whole country has never
talked... You know who's really shocked about this? Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Right.
But... So it's because of the shooting of Jacob Blake. And people immediately took to the streets. And that's, I think, the new normal.
Well, all right. So before we get into it, you know, every time we see a police shooting, you know... Every time it is involving, usually a black suspect, usually male, you know, and we could talk about that because the statistically it happens to white people more, but yet we see it more. We see what we're seeing in the media and what's being, you know, kind of supersonic blasted out is when it happens to black people, which, you know, I mean, I think it's important that we at least acknowledge that,
sure.
Right? That, you know, like what we're seeing and who it's happening to, but also understand the big picture and where all this stuff falls. You know, but so there's a lot of emotion and then there's a lot of initial reaction, you know, to these videos when they come out. And I've taken the stance that no matter what, I'm gonna wait, and I'm glad that this happened when it did. Like, it's unfortunate that it happened, but this happened on like Sunday, I believe, after we had already recorded, and
right.
Then over the course of the week, we've been able to watch it play out. And because we've been able to watch it play out, we've seen the story kind of evolve. We've seen the narrative shift. On you know from both sides of the socio-political aisle, and again, I think you have a situation where, you know, what the truth is, I think is somewhat in the middle. And I think, you know, so the Wisconsin. So what happened was, you know, there was a disturbance, and you know, police were called, and you know, the original story was that there was a fight between two women. And Jacob Blake was breaking this fight up. Once the fight was broken up, you know, like police were there, and there was no good explanation as to why they were detaining Blake. He walks away. You see him walking away from the officers, going into his car. Officer grabs him by the shirt, shoots him 7 times. You hear
right.
you hear what we assume is his head hit the steering wheel. They did administer CPR. And he was rushed to the hospital. He's going to be paralyzed, but he's going to live. They did not have body cams, so
it was filmed by a bystander.
Yes. So that was the initial story, and then it began to evolve and kind of turn into different things, right? Like so, immediately it was. You know, well, he was breaking up the fight, and then we don't know why the police turned on him. Come to find out from the Wisconsin Department of Justice, that his ex-girlfriend called the police because he was there and he wasn't supposed to be. The police identified him as the person who wasn't supposed to be there. They tried to detain him. They wrestled with him on the opposite side of the car where he was shot. He was able to get away from them. They drew their weapons. He had alerted them that he did have a knife. He goes into the car, and the officer grabs his shirt, shoots him 7 times. There was a knife found in the vehicle, right? So that comes from the Wisconsin Department of Justice. And now there are some that will say, well, you can't believe that that story is convenient. It came out late. Like that story should have came out, you know, Monday. You know, and I think you take some things with a grain of salt, but I mean, I tend to believe, like, if that's the report they're putting out, like, whether you believe it or not, that's the report that's out. So now that's what he's dealing with in this situation. Now, I guess the other issue or question here is, you know, the police going to charge Blake with something, you know, all that scuffle and all of that. And it's just like, well, we shot you in the back 7 times, so we're not going to charge you with anything. I mean, I think that's a minor point at this point, but.
And one thing that struck me, so I heard the story initially, you know, black man goes to break up a fight, being a good Samaritan, and his kids are in the car, and the cop shot him in the back. I watched the video, and I was horrified.
Yep.
Then I'm listening to the Alan Cox Show, local Cleveland show, it's syndicated, so you can listen to it on iHeartRadio. Is where you can also listen to us. Some two people in a row called in and said, you don't have all the facts. Jacob Blake was being arrested because there's a warrant out for him for sexual assault against a minor. And that he was leaning back into his car and they were responding to the threat of a guy going back into his vehicle. You know, you said he did acknowledge having a knife and a knife was found. The optics were horrible. But the funny thing is, I hear two people in a row call into a radio show that is a very liberal-leaning show and say, well, this guy was literally being detained because he had sexually assaulted a 16-year-old. And it turns out that story is bullshit. And yet
So he did have a warrant. But the warrant was
related to the woman that he was.
It was related to the woman that he was arguing with, and there was a sexual aspect to the crime that he is being accused of. It's not clear. I did actually see the warrant. It's not clear what happened, but it wasn't with a minor. So, you know, again, on the other side, that's how the story, you know, it's just like, oh, he had a warrant and it was for raping a minor. So, immediately it's the, let's paint him in the worst picture we possibly can. While on the other side, it's let's paint him in the most angelic picture that we can, or the most sympathetic picture that we can. And neither of those things are right. And again, it goes to, you know, pushing a narrative, right? And so, you know, now where do these things come from? Like the story of him breaking up this fight, like that allegedly came from witnesses who were there, you know, different media outlets, you know, according to this person or that person or unnamed sources, all that other stuff. You know, he's there breaking up a fight. Come to find out, at least according to the DOJ report out of Wisconsin, that he was the reason there was a fight.
Right. Which we're not saying is justification for shooting.
No, it's not justification, but again, like, so the story itself is already, you know, it was very early on we were getting misinformation in terms of what happened.
Yep.
And so that is separate from should the police have shot him.
Sure.
Right? Like that's a separate conversation. And going into that, the problem that the people who say like this is unjustified, again, and we've talked to experts about this, right?
Yep.
And it's like it's terrible what happened to Jacob Blake. I feel very bad that he's paralyzed. I wish he would not have made the decision that he made. I also wish that the cops wouldn't have done what they did and shot him and drew their weapons. But based off of the rules and the laws and the standard operating procedures that are in place that exist, you know, similarly across the country, if that officer is charged with the crime, it's strictly going to be based off of emotion and not
politics,
based off of fact. And not based off of evidence that's there. People want to see that cop arrested because they don't like these shootings. And look, and the thing is, we have to, like, I don't like it either, right?
Right.
I don't like it at all. But the reality is that we have to start to think about changing what their standard operating procedure is and demanding that change. And now how we go about making those demands is also another question.
Sure. No, I think it's a huge question and something I definitely want to talk about, because we've gotten to the point where the country as a whole is fed up with how many times we've seen unarmed people getting shot, mostly black males. But, I mean, you can bring up Breonna Taylor, which we didn't see, but we know about. And the guy in Arizona that got shot ridiculously, we talked about a couple weeks ago.
And that guy in Arizona was white.
He was white,
and there shot by white cops. Right, there was another white guy shot by white cops.
In Arizona.
That was so sad.
That's the worst one ever, in my opinion.
And there was the white guy with the spoon. And we didn't even talk about that on the show.
I don't remember this.
I can't remember. Just look it up. White guy shot by police with a spoon. Okay. I mean,
was it in Arizona also?
No. Okay. That is the beauty of Google. But, so I think, like, it's important that we have this conversation. And I stand by my statement. Like, look, if your position is more white people get killed by police than black people, then my reply to you is, okay, yeah, that's not good either.
Right.
Right? Like, that we're not rooting for white, you know, like, making all white people who get mowed down by police. No. I think we should really look at reducing the number of people that are killed by police. Now, here's the other thing. Are people being killed by police, is it an epidemic? Is it this thing that happens so frequently? Now, here's the problem. From a media standpoint, it feels like it, right? Because we're constantly seeing it. You're seeing the videos shared on social media over and over again. And every time it happens, you're seeing it, right? The reality is the police kill 1,000 people a year, right? On average.
Right, yep.
Some justified, completely justified. Others questionable. Others just not. And that's a number that is up for debate, in that you don't have all your precincts report or all your law enforcement agencies reporting their numbers, because there's no mandate for them to do so. I do believe that Senator Tim Scott out of South Carolina did propose a law that would make that something that is required. And he's a Republican, by the way, a black Republican out of South Carolina. So people should, you know, I mean, but it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, it's just like, I don't care who presents it, right? Like, this is something that I think that we need to keep account of. But what we know is that the U.S., even though it's a small fraction of a percentage, right? And if you think of the number of police, the number of people in the country, the number of interactions that the police have with police every day, I mean, it's very small, 1,000 people, right? I mean, it's a lot of people. But it's also not a lot of people, right? There's 300 million people in the country. 1,000 people killed by police is not a lot of people. But it is a lot of fucking people. That's 1,000 families that are impacted by someone being murdered by police, whether it was justified or not, right? That's 1,000 lives, right? Which that's 1,000 families, which means that if you multiply that out, that's what, 10,000, 100,000 people that could possibly be affected, depending on the size of family, friends, networks, coworkers, all that other shit. So it is something that we need to address, because we do it more frequently than anybody else in the world. Now, the rest of the world, are they keeping as accurate stats as we are? Because our stats aren't that accurate. They're probably pretty decent, right? I mean, but they're not as accurate as they could be. We could be better. So the rest of the world, is China going to be honest about their number? No. Is Russia going to be us? One thing that's not on the board is Russia. We got to talk about that.
Okay.
We got to talk about the guy that was poisoned. Try to remember that.
Okay. We did last week.
I know, but there's more that came out.
I don't know that.
So. So are these other countries going to be honest about their numbers?
I'm not confident.
I'm not confident that they are.
And we also wouldn't get the news. Right. We would not hear about it here, and they probably don't have a media like ours.
Well, that's not true. I mean, media is very global now. I mean, between
social
media and everything else.
A wrongful death in Russia is not going to make American news.
True. But it also, again, it also happens so rarely, right? Like, there was a report done that did a comparison. Which you can only take it with a little bit of a grain of salt, because there's only so much of that data you can verify. But I mean, we're doing it at a clip three times more than the next country,
and,
right?
And let me do some math on you though. You said 1,000 a year. That's 20 a week. Yep. That's 20 times a week that someone's getting killed by the police. And like you said, some of them are justifiable shootings. I'm not even going to say, I don't know what the right answer is in the Jacob Blake shooting. I mean, he's threatening them. There's a violent situation. He's reaching for a knife. You know the answer. What's that?
You already know the answer.
What, it was a justifiable answer shooting?
Is that it was justifiable based off of the laws that we have in place right now.
Okay, agreed. Can we agree, though, it was bad police work? Two yes. police officers should be able yeah. to detain a guy.
Now, listen, the idea, like, this is a bad comparison, but I worked in bars for years. Right?
Okay, yeah. As years. A bouncer, a lot of times.
As a bouncer, bouncer, bartender, kind of combination. Yeah, you were. You know, I mean, there were more than one occasion where I jumped over the bar as a bartender and then turned into a bouncer. But
let me paint the picture, folks. These are clubs in Chicago as well as podunk bars in Geneva, Ohio, which is a biker community.
Right.
So you've seen some shit.
And so, I mean, some bars in the hood in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Then there's the one that you worked at fairly recently, which fucking ain't have a...
Somebody needed a bouncer. He needed a favor. I said, okay.
But the bounce staff there, the night I hung out with you, if that was my security crew, I would fear no one. Between you and the dude you were about... it was comical for me to hang out
there. Like, and we needed to be there. That place was sketchy.
Yes, it was. I agree with that.
I mean, like, there was a reason why. I mean,
and it's less than 5 miles from where. That's about 10 miles from where we are right now. Yeah. But
I mean,
but anyway,
I only did that a few times, took myself right back into retirement.
Right, but fuck. Sorry.
Anyway, so but my point is you know, so that place is a prime example. The place we were just talking about. You saw the guys that I was working with. Yeah. There were incidents.
Special forces and shit, right?
Right. Yeah, the one guy was special forces, and now he's a special agent for a particular agency where we won't bring up the name.
Yep, yep.
Which the one night he gets called on the bat phone and
That's
has
right,
to go.
I forgot about that.
And like, sorry, where folks. The fuck are you going?
A lot of inside baseball right. going on here, folks.
He's like, oh, no, man.
It's entertaining.
You know, the day job's calling, and he disappeared for like a week, and then he popped back up. But
sorry, didn't mean
so,
to say you're
anyway,
comparing
all
to
say,
bouncing.
So I'm not comparing police work to bouncing, but what I'm saying is the people that I work with guys that were in law enforcement and different things like that, and we would have these situations that broke out. And when you're dealing with people that are pissed off, in a fucked up state of mind, whether it's because they're drunk or high or just fucking crazy or they're just mad, you know, girlfriends pissed them off
or
all of the things above, like, and you're perfectly sober and you're trying to keep things calm, it doesn't, like, we're big, strong guys, right? I've been bouncing for years of taking classes on you know, like, self-defense and hand-to-hand combat and all that other stuff. I mean, I work with, you know, people who are... who do this shit for a living, and guess what? Sometimes guys get away from you. They break free. They get random help from, you know, like an onlooker. Like, I've been hit across the back with random things I don't know how many fucking times, right? I mean, I've been fortunate it's never taken me out, but, I mean, like, some of the shit that happens, and so while we can sit here and say it's bad police work, this shit happens, right?
Yeah.
So the problem that occurs is this guy... Jacob Blake engages these two officers, right? Or they engage him or whatever happens, right? But either way, no matter how you look at it, like, you, and there's, because there's two videos, right? There's the video of him being shot, terrible.
Yes.
But there's another video where he's clearly fighting with the two officers, which is a little bit comical if he doesn't end up being shot, because the two officers are trying to get him down. There might even be a third officer. And then Blake just literally kind of squirts out of the scuffle and starts walking around his car, and it's like the officers are like fighting each other, right? It's like a Looney Tunes cartoon. But the issue is, that's why this is now, why it's going to end up being a justifiable homicide.
Not a homicide, it's not dead.
Or I'm sorry, a justifiable shooting, because you have this engagement, right? They're giving him orders, and what did Mike Wood tell us, right? Like, from the get-go, right, as soon as you don't comply, you can die.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just going off of what we know the playbook is.
Right, but something else, Mike. I don't think he said this on our show. He may have. I know he said it on Joe Rogan's podcast. The grappling and hand to hand combat training for police is pitiful.
Yes,
he said literally, if you're lucky, these guys have learned how to do a wrist lock. Which,
right.
If you do it effectively, is an incredibly
Yes, good it's thing. Very
but
effective.
It's also very hard to get it to work on a person in an actual struggle.
Right. In these particular situations, and I talked to multiple Cleveland police officers, you know, guys that work out at my gym and guys that, again, that I've worked with. And, I mean, they all say the same thing. And the good ones will go out and do things on their own.
Sure.
You know, not necessarily but, say that these guys were bad, but I mean, like, the, you know, guys can be proactive and do the shit on their own, but it's not mandated. It's not across the board.
It should be. Jiu-jitsu should be taught to every fucking cop.
Agreed. I mean, but there's a lot of should-haves in these situations, but they're not there, right? And all we have is what is in place right now. And so what it sounds like, you know, I'm saying that this is justified and that it's the guy's fault that he did it and that I'm okay with it. I'm not okay with it. I don't want to see people get killed. I don't want to see people get paralyzed. I don't want, right. But listen, when I engage with the police, right, like, because I'm well aware of how bad it can go and because I'm aware of my size and because I'm, like, listen, these police, they will even, like, listen, they are afraid for the, like, yeah. They're afraid, everything makes them afraid for their life. Right, everything. Oh, you fucking sneezed. I was afraid for my life. Oh, you fucking grabbed your dick. I was afraid for my life. Everything is a fucking afraid for the life. Okay, right. Like, so I make sure when I interact with them, I try to do as little as possible, so they're not afraid for their life. Right.
Sure.
And that's just that. That's just what you have to do. But that being said, in my opinion, being an asshole, having a bad day, making a bad judgment call. When you're interacting with two other people that are also citizens, right? Yes, they have a badge and the gun, and yes, they're wearing, you know, the colors of the city or the town or the locality, but
full Batman attire in terms of
yes, with all the utility belts and all that other shit. Right. But in my opinion and my feeling is that your interaction with them, if just because you're having a bad day or being an asshole, just because you are an asshole. Doesn't mean that you should die.
Agreed.
Right?
100% agree.
But right now, the way the system is designed, you can and you will, depending on who you're dealing with.
And most importantly, not most importantly, but the point is, with impunity. That's the thing is, the reason there's the outrage is the number of times we've seen people getting killed with no consequences. In my opinion, this is an example of no one gets a pass from me. I'm sorry Jacob Blake got shot. I don't think he should have. When I first saw the video and didn't have any context, I found it horrifying. I'm like, dude, just fucking blasted the dude in the back. What the fuck? 7 times. And then I learned, well, okay, there was a scuffle beforehand. He was going into his car and potentially reaching for a knife. And it's easy for me to say, well, the officer should have been better trained. They should have. They absolutely should have. And the fact that two grown men can't stop one grown man from getting into a car, and these are grown men who have been "quote unquote trained to be law enforcement officers."
But again, you got to be careful with that because no, I mean, think about it. How many grown men do you think it would take to stop me from getting in a car? Could you do it by yourself?
I certainly could not do it by myself.
Could you do it with someone else on this street?
I don't know the residents of the street, but
why the fuck don't you know your neighbors, Jim?
I don't know my neighbors very well. I don't know.
Shame on you.
Fair. But
all right, go pick somebody up from the VIP. From the VIP.
That's all right. The VIP is a bar where when Steve and I go into the bar, Steve is clearly the baddest ass in the bar.
Come on,
and I'm
probably
second because the average age of that place is 60, and most people would die of broken hips. All right,
But the point is. Like, you got to be careful with the two guys should be able to because...
Who have tasers and cuffs.
Agreed, but again, in the moment...
Sure.
In those moments, right? Like, it's not that easy. So
could two guys with me... Could another guy and I with tasers take you down? If we knew what we were doing, we should be able to.
Yes, assuming that you hit me with a taser. But, right. I mean, like, I can tell you that I'm not impervious to tasers, but... It's not going to... A taser won't put me down. Only because we learn that the hard way in college. We got a little drunk, we get a little stupid.
All right. Is there anything more you want to say on this? Because there's still more to the story we need to talk about. Don't tase me, bro. I have never been tased, but I did get shocked with a stun gun once.
You've never been tased?
Never been tased. Like I'm some kind of weirdo because I've never been tased.
Fair.
I've been shocked with a stun gun.
Fair.
I've been tased a couple times. Motherfucker.
Yeah, a couple... Once, you know, as a thing, and then another time it was a serious thing.
Right. All right. So.
Well, so I think I just leaving. So with Jacob Blake, it It's, and the reason why I wanted to lay that out is that it set off protests.
Yes.
In Kenosha and in other places.
Right.
And, you know, and my concern with these protests is I think they're important. But the part of the problem is that you have people in these protests, whether they're, you know, people want to say they're right-wing plants. Other people say it's crazy Antifa sure. leftists. I think it's all of the above, including just your chaos actors, right? I don't think they're necessary. I don't think they're plants. I don't think that they're these like leftist wackadoos. I think you have people who are looking at a situation. They know that they can go out, break shit, wreck shit, steal shit, go yeah. out, fight, get their anger out, be wild
part of the chaos,
yeah. right? Like, I mean, I use the reference to the Joker in the Christian Bale right. Batman all the time, that Heath Ledger, not that they're trying to be him and be that, but that's the mindset. Like, I don't give a fuck. I just want to fucking see the world burn.
Yep.
And I think you have an element of that along with the right-wing plants, right? Because we've seen it. Along with, you know, super crazy fucking progressive leftists, you know, usually white kids, right? With man buns that, you know, are fighting good fight apparently right. who, you know, they think. You know, doing more harm than good. But all that is drowning out the protests. It's drowning out the message that we want change. We're not happy with this result. So as a community, we want change. And as a community, we should be able, people should be able to do that, right? Yes. In your community, you don't like something, you should be able to say, listen, we voted you in. We want you to change this as a whole. You work for the people, change it for us, hear our voice, right? A peaceful protest does that. But as soon as it devolves and descends into the madness and the chaos where people are getting hurt and property is being damaged and there are, you know, fires in the streets and the potential, like, and the reason why that's problematic is because yes, property can be replaced. But setting cars on fire, you know why it's fucking dangerous? Because cars can blow up because they're filled with what? Gas,
gasoline,
oil, yeah. all that other shit. You know, throwing bricks through windows. You know what? Yeah, it's just property. But guess what? If someone's in there and they catch the other side of that brick, that could fucking kill someone. Right? I mean, like, so the reality is this is all, like, you know, when we're talking about safety, like, people get so bent on it. Oh, you're protecting property. Property is more important. No, it's not more important than life, but the shit is still fucking dangerous when it gets into these sort of situations, right? Like, so that's the sort of thing that overshadows this, right? And gives it, and gives the you know, those who are opposed, and it's a hard way to frame it, but those that seem like they're against these the protest and the movement, it gives them the ammunition that they need to say, look, see, we're not giving you guys anything because you're assholes.
Well, and so to me, I don't even want to say the positive of this, but the change that we've seen already is the public, white, black, suburban, urban. Just suburban and urban. I'm not going to go rural. But have had enough. They're now the burden of trust from the police is gone. Or sorry, the level of trust with the police is essentially gone. People see someone get shot. They see that video. And they're like, okay, we've seen this too many fucking times. We're doing something about it. When it doesn't devolve into bricks through windows and fires and whatever, that's a good thing. And it'll be a great thing when we don't need to do that shit. Because this sort of thing is so rare that we're not seeing social injustice.
And so what needs to happen is, I don't know how you resolve that.
I don't
right?
either.
Because you can't go through and control and filter who can protest and who can't, right? I mean,
we can stop having people shot on video would be an awesome way to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in order to get to that point, you need to change, like, things need to change. The way that the police operate need to change, right? Their rules of engagement need to change. And how you get that, right, is by having the necessary dialogue, and then it needs to be written into law and into practice, right? Like, so you have to get past the protest stage, and then you have to get into the actual practical application of changing the mechanisms in which the thing that you want to change operates. But it's hard to get to that next step when you have to clean up these messes every time. So, it,
right.
you know, here locally, You know, we had the George Floyd protests. We did have some damage downtown, and you know, they swooped in pretty quick with curfews and things like that. But like here in, you know, in my neighborhood, you know, it was peaceful. Like people, they were.
But there were protests in your neighborhood.
Yes, in my neighborhood, which is a very close suburb to Cleveland. Like literally, probably I think it used to be Cleveland, and then they just, you know, whatever, annexed it. But it never devolved into violence. It never went like it was just a group of soccer moms out there, and just, you know, they had their signs, they said what they had to say, and the mayor responded in a positive way. The chief of police responded in a positive way. You know, the chief of police went through, made some changes, publicized those changes, had public meetings, and those are good things. That's how it's supposed. That's how you want it to happen, right?
Yep.
But this and I'm not necessarily blaming the peaceful protesters. And the problem is that these riots break out and they get, you know, the entire group gets blanketed, right, with the stigma from those that caused the most damage. But it's the same thing on the other side with the police, right? Like you've got, and I'm not making the few bad apples argument, but you have these instances. There are so many cops that will never pull their gun. There are a lot of cops who won't shoot anyone, who won't kill someone, who even if they're faced with someone with a weapon, will figure out a way to de-escalate the situation so that they don't have to use their own weapon and figure out a way to get that person in. We see examples of that on a regular basis, contrary to those on the other side who say you never see examples of it. You can go on Twitter and YouTube and see.
They don't make the news.
You know what?
Which
you're right.
Part of the problem.
It doesn't make the news though, but it's out there. The examples are out there. People do make an effort to show. Look, like these cops are good, and people, you know, people on the left, they get mad and say, "Well, it's still bad." It's not right. Like I mean, and this is the problem. Is this is a nuanced, very nuanced conversation that our country needs to have, but it's being hijacked on both sides by the loudest and most unreasonable voices. And I think it's turning some people that I think were and usually are very reasonable to very unreasonable people, right? Like there is no more gray area. It's either, you know, a line has been drawn in the sand. You're either with us or against us, right? Like it's only absolutes. We got the fucking force versus the dark side.
Right.
And I don't believe that's where we're at. You're not going to pull me to either side, right? Like, you can call me whatever. You can bash me. You can do whatever. I'm not going to do it, right? And it'll infuriate some people, especially progressives on the left.
I'm sure we're both going to catch shit for what we just said right now.
I'm going to catch shit. I don't give a damn, right? I just don't, right? Because, you're not happy about it, right? You're not happy about it? Then explain to me where I'm wrong. Right, explain to me where I'm wrong. I mean, this idea that everything just has to be this absolute black and white thing is just like that nothing works that way. Nothing. 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 Nothing.
Right. And so then let's talk about the other side effects of all this. So the protests happen, violence happens, or property damage happens, and then people came out to defend property while carrying weapons and firearms. Civilians came out with firearms to quote-unquote protect property, and a 17-year-old kid named Kyle Rittenhouse grabs an assault rifle and shoots and kills two people. Allegedly. I gotta be fair. Allegedly. It's alleged. But he then flees the scene, is pursued by people who watched what they believe was him shooting someone, and I've heard conflicting reports here, and like you said at the beginning of our discussion, we do need to let this marinate a bit, because maybe what I'm saying will be disproven at some point. But this kid, if the stories are true, with an assault rifle on a strap around his body, shoots two people, flees the scene, and literally walks past police who are being told he just shot somebody, and he literally gets past the police with a gun strapped to him. He did have his hands in the air, and there were no consequences initially. And I know a lot of people are really pissed off about that. I understand it. I don't know how they didn't at least fucking question this kid. Now, he's now been charged with two counts of murder, or maybe two counts of murder and a count of attempted murder because of the first person he allegedly shot. So again, his name, he's 17 year old. They release his name. His name is Kyle Rittenhouse. It's at this point still being figured out legally. I want to publicly say, fuck this kid if anything that we're hearing about is true. Fuck him. I'm grabbing a gun no.
Okay. I understand, but we need to play it out. So he's 17 years old. So the first issue is he's from Illinois, right? Like, so him and his group, they wanted to be, they define themselves as a militia, right? Well-formed militia, constitutional. Kid 17. So the initial problem is he's from Illinois. So
the weapon Kenosha is close to Illinois.
I know.
Okay, but some people might not.
Okay, Kenosha and Illinois are close, but the issue with him being from Illinois is in Illinois you need to be 21 to own a gun.
Oh, shit.
Okay, and if you're not, like, whoever you are...
Illinois, you need to be 21 to look at a gun.
You need to be 21 to own a weapon, and if you are, you got to have a card, right? And so if you're under 21... You need to have a parental sponsor in order to get it. So the question is, did his mom or dad or whatever, did he have the proper sponsorship to have the weapon that he had, right? And then what is the legality of him carrying it across state lines, right? Because the issue is in Wisconsin, I believe in Wisconsin, under 18, you can't carry a deadly weapon of any kind.
I don't know that. I know openly. Going into Illinois, it's the laws are brutal.
Right. Well, this is where like legally, it's not overly clear, right? And I didn't do a ton of time to like dig either. Into it and try to figure it out. But in Wisconsin, you got to be 18 to carry a deadly weapon, right? To open carry a deadly weapon. So he's underage in the state that he's from, and then he's underage to do the thing that he's doing in Wisconsin. Right, like, so we're off to a bad start.
So he's committed crimes before he pulled the trigger.
Right, like, and we don't know about Illinois because, again, if he had a parental sponsor, then he's okay to have the rifle in Illinois, but can he transport it across state lines? And once he's in Wisconsin, he can't, right? Like, so he's got a problem there. And then why he's there, like, so I get the idea of protecting property. I'm not a fan of that argument, right? Because to me, it feels like you're literally just do this to kind of do your real life Call of Duty thing.
Sure.
I'm not a fan of this, but so he was interviewed prior to the shooting saying he was there to help people because, you know, the rioters and looters were damaging property and he had medical supplies and he was running into the face of danger to help people. His words.
Okay. In an interview, I didn't see that.
On Daily Caller. I believe it was on the Daily Caller or something along those lines. And so, because people are making a big deal that he had on latex gloves, right? They're like, oh, he was going to use the gun and then he wanted to ditch it. Like, no, he genuinely thought that he was like a true, like, first responder. Right. Right. And so the story goes that they were protecting a used car lot. Someone tried to mess with a car on the car lot. He says something to the person. There's a back and forth, and then he begins to get chased. They chase him. He is armed. One of the people chasing him is armed. He goes down. He gets kicked. He gets hit with the skateboard. He shoots, you know, kills the two people, hurts, or, you know, wounds the other person, and then gets himself out of there. So the question is it self-defense? Now, the issue is that you may have a legitimate self-defense argument there, but the problem is you're there illegally. So if you're not there illegally, then you don't have to defend yourself, right? Like, sure. So there's
I don't know, how does the legality of that work out?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of legal questions that need to be answered, you know, because everyone's saying, oh, self-defense, it's easy if you look at the video. And looking at the video, yeah, he could probably make a legitimate self-defense case, although we don't know what happened prior to that video. I don't know the veracity of, you know, he was just standing at the car lot and defending this car lot. I mean, also, it's not your car lot, right? Like, you're just a random dude out, you know, protect. Like, there's.
If I go to defend the 7-Eleven down the street, like, they didn't ask me to show up there with my shotgun and,
right.
and whatever.
I mean, so the you know, we have to think about how we view the idea of vigilantism, right? I mean, typically it's a thing that seems cool for comic books, but not really appropriate for real life. And, you know, so, I mean, he's got, like, this isn't, I don't think this is an open shut case. And I think that
he's got, not Dylann Roof is what you're
He's not Dylann Roof, but he's got an uphill legal battle that he's facing. And I believe in his mind and his heart of hearts, he thought he was doing a good thing. He thought he was doing the right thing. And he thought that he was helping. I don't believe that this guy is a homegrown, you know, right-wing terrorist that was looking to go out and kill protesters and kill white or black people. I mean, the victims were all white, and he's all white. Right. So I really think that this is a kid who was trying to do what he believed was the right thing, and it ended up going terribly wrong, which made land him in prison. And maybe there's some in between.
Yeah, and you know, this kind of goes back to what we've been saying the whole show, is there's a whole lot of wrong here.
Yeah.
Finding the right is difficult. Now, I want to
also point... there's one other thing. There was also a curfew,
correct?
And this all happened after curfew, right? Like, so.
But he was violating the curfew too. So
exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, so it's like, again, if you're not violating the curfew, you and them, then this doesn't happen. So you have in multiple ways put yourself in a situation that you should not have been in. And then, you know, multiple people ended up dead because you know, starting in Wisconsin, starting in Illinois, ending in Wisconsin, you know, being out after curfew, all those other things. So it's
so much wrong here.
Yeah. There's a lot. Go ahead.
I was going to say another thing that's a problem is a lot of this is fueled by the media, right, left, whatever. But you played for me a clip of Tucker Carlson saying, "What did you expect to happen?" And I've documented as saying, not a fan of Tucker Carlson. But when people who have his spotlight, and it's a big spotlight, I think he's the top-rated cable news personality in the country right now. And he got out there and basically said, what do you expect? Of course 17-year-olds are going to grab ARs and run into the streets. Well, Tucker, nah, not really.
I mean, here's the issue with kind of your response to that. People on the right, conservatives, MAGA, Trump supporter, whatever you want to call them, they've been saying Second Amendment supporters, especially in the Second Amendment community, which I pay very close attention to, just because there's value to it.
Sure.
They've been saying this for the last 3 years that, you know, if the police, they've been saying that the police can't protect you, they're not going to be there to protect you. They're ineffective at protecting you. You have to do it yourself. We have to do it ourselves. You know, the Constitution calls for well-formed militias, and that's the siren call amongst the Second Amendment supporters, right? Which this kid clearly falls in the line based off of, you know, his own social media. So he's getting that, whether it's Colleen Noir that we talked about, whether it's Kevin Dixie, who we talked to on the show, those are just two. There's a million other, you know, small, large Second Amendment supporters and those on, you know, that side of the aisle that have been saying this. So Tucker Carlson is echoing a sentiment that exists. And
agree.
Right? And so now, is it responsible for him to say it the way that he did? Probably not. But, I mean, he's not saying something that's not being said in a lot of different channels.
That is absolutely true. I wouldn't argue that for a second. And to fuel that fire and say we've gone over 40 minutes now talking about this incident in Kenosha, Wisconsin, but while this is all going on, so is the Republican National Convention. And Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida, in his speech to start, well, it wasn't maybe the first speech of the convention, but it was one of the very early ones, literally said, if the Democrats get control, they're going to lock you into your house and invite MS-13 to move next door to you. Yes, I know there's a lot of hyperbole at conventions, but that is so fucking over the top. I mean, we're going to invite
murderers. Yeah, but consider the source.
True, but hold that cocksucker accountable, because he's, when you say shit like that, and if you don't know what Matt Gaetz looks like, yeah, you do. He's the guy who would say something that looked like that.
I mean, like, listen, first of all, the guy, he's done a number of ridiculous things. You know, when the COVID issue started and they said wear a mask, he wore a gas mask in,
right,
you know, in the congressional chambers. He's said a number of really dumb statements. I mean, he's...
And he's in the United States Congress as an elected representative.
Yeah, I mean, like, this... I mean, he like, he's got a track record. And, you know, that's why I say consider the source.
Fair.
But I get, he's an elected official. He is an elected official, and they get the accountability. But, again, he was voted in. Like, the people of Florida... People in Florida got to hold him accountable.
Okay, so Florida is coming up, and I want to give you a chance to bring up your Russia thing, because Florida in Russia, you wanted to say something.
Okay, so we talked about the opposition leader slash journalist that was poisoned.
Yes.
So Vladimir Putin came out and said, so Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK, right. and other European leaders came out and said this is unacceptable and there needs to be an investigation. Vladimir Putin came out and said, no, there doesn't need to be an investigation. There will be no investigation. And one of his cabinet members came out and said that, oh, don't worry, he may not die in the hospital, but we're going to bury him with $1 million worth of bills and fines.
What?
One of the Russian cabinet members said he may not die in the hospital, but we're going to bury him with $1 million worth of bills and fines.
For what? Consuming a new illegal substance that happens to be a poison that kills you?
I don't know. It's Russia.
It's Russia.
I love that place.
I know you do.
There's no rules.
Here's why Vladimir Putin says there's going to be no investigation. Yeah, I did it. We all know this shit. I'm not apologizing. I'm Vladimir fucking Putin.
That's literally it.
Okay. That gives us a segue to back to politics. So two big things one not so big, but the Cleveland Police Union, which strongly backed Trump in 2016, has chosen to endorse nobody. I don't even know that there's a whole lot to dig into there, other than I found it surprising.
It's if you've been paying attention to what the Cleveland police have been doing, you know, what the police chief has been doing, what the mayor's been doing, has it been perfect? No, but they've been making an effort, and this was a smart move. You know, there's no reason why inject yourself? Why offer?
They did it in 2016.
They did, and. What did it get them? Like, what was the value?
No,
right?
No,
like,
value.
I mean, it just.
But is there ever value? Do endorsements matter anymore?
The New York Times has endorsed Joe Biden. I mean,
shocker.
I don't think that they do. I mean, there were people who will say that they do because the people who do the endorsing, like, they, you know, trace it back to, you know, especially on the left.
All right.
Okay. So, all right. I don't believe that they have value, but there are plenty of arguments to say that they do. So I don't have a great.
I mean, I'm the guy who says that advertising is weird and I don't understand it. So it's kind of the same general concept. Like, I don't understand why Budweiser still advertises. We know what you are. One endorsement that did shock me though is Richard Spencer came out and said, "I'm supporting Joe Biden." Richard Spencer is basically the face of white nationalism. He is outspoken. He was a huge Trump guy early on. They did have a parting of ways not that long ago. But I found that shocking, and I don't even mean to say it in a good way. If I'm Joe Biden, I don't want Richard Spencer's endorsement. I remember when David Duke endorsed Trump, and Trump was like, I don't know who this is. Well, yeah, you do, or you should. But regardless, you know, you don't want the endorsement of that guy. I don't want Richard Spencer on my team. I'll take your vote. If you want to give money to Biden, give money to Biden. Do your thing. But you're a fucking scumbag. I mean, one of my least favorite people in the country.
Well, I mean, it's easy to see what this does. Whether it's intentional or not, up for debate. I think it's very intentional, and I think you just stepped into the spider web. By doing this, Richard Spencer allows and provides a pathway for all, like, the entire team, the entire Trump team, to say, look, we've been telling you all along that the Democrats are racist, that the progressive left, they're the racist, they're the people doing the most to harm black people. Look at the Democratic-run cities. Look what they've done to black people in those cities. They've caused more harm than good. They're the actual racist. If you look at their playbook, the KKK couldn't have designed a better playbook. And to top it all off with a cherry, here's Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer says, I'm endorsing Joe Biden. And voila.
Are you saying that you believe this is a puppet show?
I think it's not. So yes and no. I think Richard Spencer is doing this on his own. I think he recognizes what this does. I think he recognizes everything that I just said, and he's taking advantage of it. Now, the question is, will the Trump administration, will the GOP, will the MAGA fans, will the conservative right turn around, jump on it, and say, see, we've been telling you all along that the Democrats are the real racists. Come on over to Trump. Again, according to Trump, he's done more for black people than anybody in the world ever. And that's if I'm running a GOP campaign, if I'm one of their talking heads, that's what I would do.
Oh, I totally agree. They will do that. I don't blame them.
I don't know if they will, because they have to be careful, because he's just such a toxic person that I really, you know, I would maybe do it because, again, like I like to win things. So, you know, you go in and you cut with whatever you got, razor blade, sword, axe. And I think that this is one of those things that, you know, is there value to it if you're the GOP to sit there and try to spin it? Yes, but he is so toxic that they may stay away from it, but it's just worth pointing out. But
in the social media world, this is kind of a perfect thing for the GOP to have, because in the right crowds, you can say, you know, the Democrats are the racists. Look, you know, painting Richard Spencer as a racist is not a difficult task.
No.
And so to the right crowds, you can say, Joe Biden claims to be, you know, the guy who have your back. Joe Biden's the one who said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah.
But you know who did vote for? You know who is supporting him? Richard Spencer. So it will get used. We had this conversation via text. I don't know if this is an intentional thing where Richard Spencer is doing the wink wink, or if he's just pissed at Trump and feels like the movement has left him and he's trying to make himself relevant again.
I mean, we've seen that. We've seen that. So I think
we have seen that.
We've seen people, you know, get pissed at movements that leave them behind. And I think that this is that. I don't think it's as tactical as we're making it out to be, but the potential is there for someone to catch on pretty quick and to make it seem that. And listen,
the fact that both of us went to the "is this a double agent" thing was telling to me, because I am much more prone to conspiracies than you are. Well, and I'm not silly about it.
This isn't a conspiracy. Like, right?
Oh,
like,
I'm going there.
I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think Richard Spencer is doing this on his own because he's pissed at Trump. He didn't get the boost, you know, the sonic boost that he was hoping to get. He didn't get amplified like he was hoping to get. And his movement didn't catch fire like he wanted it to. So now he's pissed. He's got to get back in. And so this is how he's doing it. You know, we see politicians do this sort of thing all the time. It's not uncommon, you know, for people to switch sides and make a huge deal about it. Like Democrats do it all the time when they go over to the other side. I'm a former Democrat, a Democrat all my life. And now, you know, whether it's a Brexit or a Democrat or whatever, I mean, like, that's their thing. So I don't think this is necessarily a coordinated attack, but I think that it can be used in a very coordinated way.
I would agree with that. And I want to talk some sports things that actually will also roll over into politics. But before I do that, I want to tell a bit of a personal story, a local story, and I want your opinion on it. So there's a bar near here that we've both frequented many times. It's an Irish, large physical footprint Irish bar in a neighborhood that is known for being the police and firemen neighborhood, which is where I live. And they had a funeral on Tuesday for a fireman in Cleveland. I apologize. I don't have his name in front of me. And actually, I'm kind of glad, because I don't want to drag him in or his family into this. But he died of COVID. And so the funeral procession went right past this bar. Not shockingly, it drew, you know, the bar was packed with people following the funeral. I totally expected that to be the case. This was Tuesday night. And it's my usual go-to if I want to get out of the house. And during, people have criticized me for going out during COVID, and that's a fair criticism. Now, I am doing my best to be responsible when I do it, but I'm a single guy who lives alone, and I'm trying not to go fucking crazy. So, yes, I go to this place on a fairly regular basis, and I space myself out. I wear a mask in and out, whatever. I walked into this place Tuesday night at around 9 o'clock, and the bars in Cleveland and Ohio are not allowed to serve drinks after 10 anymore. So I'm thinking, okay, by now, you know, the funeral is during the day. It'll have settled down. I walked in, and the bar is just packed with people all over each other. There were many, many people on, like, very close quarters talking in each other's faces. And I just turned around and walked out. I didn't get within 50 feet of the crowd. In my mind, all I could think of was, you are at a bar decompressing from a funeral of a comrade who died of a disease that is spread by situations just like this. And I was so agitated. I obviously didn't bother speaking my mind.
Yeah, but I don't know how, like, I don't know if that would have agitated me. Like, I get it. I get the irony.
Would you have turned around and walked out like I did?
Probably not.
Really? You would have gone out of the crowd? Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. I just, and I'm not saying that's the right thing or the smart thing to do. I probably would have left. Yes, I probably would have turned around and walked out because that sort of situation, like, if I didn't know the guy.
I
wouldn't want to be in that, right? Like, because, I mean, everybody's, like, sad and telling stories. And I'm like, hey, I'm here. Let me get a soda water. So, I probably would have walked out, but not because of COVID.
Okay. That's why I walked out.
Yeah, no, I get it, and that's probably the right call. It's probably the right call. I just have a hard time saying to those people, how do you grieve? Right.
No,
I mean, and I get this is a new, like, right? I mean,
fair.
Like, and like this in this neighborhood, knowing that I don't know that guy, but we know that guy, right?
Right.
I mean, and so there's a lot of those guys around here. A lot of first responders, police, firemen, EMS, everything else. Their families, like, they've been here generational. They all got multiple cousins and, you know, brothers and sisters, large Irish families. So that's how they grieve, right? That's how they've grieved their family's entire existence since they came over from Ireland or Scotland or wherever they came from, right? Like, that's how they do it, right? Somebody dies in this neighborhood, they go to PJ's, they go to the VIP, they go to West Park Station, they pack it with way too many people, they get fucking hammered, there's a fight, there's a lot of laughing, there's crying, and then they go home, they stay way past when they're supposed to. It's an absolute shit show, but that's how they do it. And on the one hand, yes, COVID, we got to stop the spread of it. That's how we died. It's ironic. But at the same time, I guarantee you a lot of them, I guarantee you someone thought of it and said, what would he want? And I guarantee you they said that motherfucker would want us to be here now, you know, having a good time, remembering him. And so that's what we're going to do.
I understand.
Fuck COVID. I get it.
This, like, is another. There's no right answer.
Right. I don't think there is a right answer. I think at some point in time, we have to recognize that we are living with this virus until we get a vaccine or a treatment. And even then, it's here. It is what it is. It's not. You're not going to eradicate it. And so at some point in time, people are going to have to figure out how to live with it. And everyone's going to, you know.
I just hope this is not fuel more firemen getting sick.
That's
if there's 10 more of these because of that, it's like, fuck, guys, I get it. In police and firemen communities, there is a bond. There is a tight-knit, you know, we're in this together. You know, your job is dangerous. And I understand that. And I understand the desire to, you know, communicate with people like you. I'm a consultant. I travel and I'll be sitting around with other consultants and we'll bemoan the fact that we're in hotels, you know, 25 days a month and we're away from our families, away from our friends, away from our homes. And so that's just a bond I feel, and my job is way less dangerous than either of the other two. So I understand the mentality, I understand what happened, but I also couldn't shake the, guys, do you not get the irony here? Do you not get the, you know, risks here? And I just wanted to tell that story, and thank you for letting me vent about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think once, as a country, we decided we weren't going to go to the extremes to really do what we needed to do to shut it down. To me, it's just like, all right, look, you said it, and I was with you, in or out. You're either all the way in, or you're all the way out. Shut it all the fuck down. Everybody stay in the house. The only people out are police, EMS. You can fucking get your groceries delivered. We'll figure it out for poor people and old people. Do it like they did in fucking Jordan and in, you know, Germany and all these other countries and New Zealand. And yeah, it pissed people off and people got agitated and everything. But let's just do it. And we didn't do it.
Half-assed. We talked about the keto diet earlier on our own.
The keto diet. Yeah.
You either do it or you don't.
Right. And we didn't. So at this point, we didn't do it. So it's just like, all right, wash your hands. Cover your mouth when you sneeze and cough. Treat it like the flu, and we're going to have to fucking deal with it. It's just, I know it's a cold way to look at it, but as soon as we decided we were going to half-ass it, we should have just said, fuck it. Right? I hate to think of it, and people are going to, hundreds of thousands of people that died.
My choice is we don't half-ass it.
But. Right, exactly. I didn't want those people to die. I wanted to save them, and the only way we were going to save more people was to take locking this thing down seriously across the board where it needed to happen.
Yep.
Right? Basically, almost every major city in every major state, you know, some of the more rural areas probably didn't necessarily need it as much. You know, I don't know if they really needed a lockdown in fucking Wyoming, but
I've got a lot of friends in West Virginia, and my mom and my brother are in West Virginia, and it's a lot easier to control it in West Virginia because you're not on top of each other.
But
in New York City, it's a much bigger challenge.
Monster, and we didn't do it, and so it's just like, all right, well, here we are.
Yep. All right, man, we're over an hour, but I do want to talk about sports. We usually try to close on sports or entertainment or something, and unfortunately, sports also rolls over into politics because the WNBA and the NBA are boycotting a couple games because of the shooting of Jacob Blake.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a good move.
Why?
Because I don't think that their voice is strengthened by not playing, especially in a time like we're in now. I think the NBA, I've honestly not paid attention to the WNBA, and I never have, and call me a bad person, whatever. But
I also never will.
Okay.
right. I'll finish it for you. Our sentiments are the same. I never will. I have no interest or desire watching the WNBA. It's
just not fun to watch. Sorry. Don't care.
But it's fine. We don't need to bash them. Right. Just keep
do,
it moving.
Do you play? I mean, if
it doesn't stop if, talking about if, the WNBA. Come
if,
on.
If get Sue to Bird, the point. Sue Bird would light me up. I'll acknowledge that. But the NBA choosing not to play games, I think, is a mistake. First of all, the ratings are not great right now. The NBA has taken on a very aggressive social political stance. I mean, they're putting social justice terms on the backs of their jerseys, which I'm fine with in principle, but it bothers me because I don't know the players in the NBA as well anymore. So if you've got, you know, Black Lives Matter on the back of your jersey and you just made a great play, I don't know who you are, potentially, if you play for Portland.
Put it on the bottom of the screen. But anyway,
not in the middle. Anyway, I don't think it's a good move because I think that the NBA has politicized itself to a great deal, which I am fine with. I do think it does turn some people off, but most of those people probably aren't watching the NBA anyway.
Right.
And the reason, I just think when you say we're not going to play the game, you take the microphone away from yourself and you don't give yourself a chance to say what needs to be said.
I disagree wholeheartedly because Milwaukee Bucks said, you know what, we're not playing. And then, you know, within a really short order, they were on the phone with the governor of Wisconsin.
Okay.
And the conversation was, what can we do to help? And what are you going to do? And I think a lot of people will say, you know, fuck that. They should have played and they could have done that anyway, anytime, any place. But I think at that point in time, it now puts pressure on the governor, on the state to, you know, like, hey, like we stopped. We brought a lot of attention to this. And so now all eyes are on you and us. What can we do? Right, we're not just going to sit here and play basketball and be entertainers and make all this money. Like, we want it now. We're trying to engage. right? Like, so, we're, everyone says you got to do something. It's all right. So we're doing something. What are you doing? How can we help? What can we do to help you? And how do we create and continue a dialogue, right? And this helps to hold that politician accountable. Now, will it? I don't know.
All right.
It could. And I think it's worth a shot. I mean, I think these guys have a voice. Now, are they always articulating it the best way? Not always. But, you know, people love to nitpick on, LeBron, he messed up this word, and he didn't say this the right way, and he's got a lot of nerve, blah, blah, blah. Like, look, man, do these guys get the full, like, I mean, are they going to have the conversation the way you and I are having the conversation right now, or the way we've had the conversation with other people we've had on this show? Not necessarily across the board. And it doesn't necessarily matter that they're not presenting it like a Harvard or a Yale or a Stanford law review student, right? The point is that that they're seeing it, they're feeling it. And so what needs to happen is that energy and that emotion that they feel needs to be directed it needs to be channeled the right way. I think that having these conversations with legislators, with governors, with mayors, with police chiefs, I think that's important, right? I think they need to express. I think they need to be able to sit down and have these conversations and interact with the police, so the police can say, "Listen, I know it seems like we should be able to do X, but let me explain to you why it's not that simple." And I think that the players need to be able to say, "Listen, this is why we say that we're scared," right? And whether it's accurate or not, like, I mean, because a lot of people were saying, you know, LeBron said that he was scared. And they're like, LeBron, how the fuck you are not scared? You have security. You live in where you live, blah, blah, blah. Like, remember, LeBron's house got vandalized, right?
Right.
These guys
are in Brentwood.
And, right. Like, I mean, these guys aren't fucking bulletproof. Is LeBron scared? I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't get inside his head. If he says he is, I guess. Should he be? Probably not. Right? I mean, you're the 1% of the 1%.
Yeah, I mean.
But I get what he's saying because, like, listen, I get hit with just because you're black, it doesn't mean you're oppressed. You went to fancy schools and you are, you know, successful, you make X amount of dollars, blah, 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 blah. You are not oppressed. You can't say that you are. You're privileged. You're elite. So, you know, you're on the wrong side. All right. Well, look, first of all,
I would say bullshit to a lot of those things.
Well,
I mean, you did go to the good schools. You did go to the fancy high school. Like, but to say you're not.
But, I mean, like, look, first of all, I acknowledge all of it. Right? I did go to those schools. But listen, let's not act like I grew up in fucking Brentwood. Let's not act like I grew up, like, I went to fucking Bay Village. Like, I mean, like, yeah, I went to a Catholic school, but listen, my Catholic school was next to an abortion clinic and a funeral home, and that funeral home was busy, right? And the people going through there were not old, right? Where I lived, and some of the shit that I saw and had to deal with, drive-by shootings across the street, fightings being,
you've told some of these stories on air and plenty
right,
of them to
I
me.
Mean, I've been, I, like, I was jumped multiple times, right? One time I was jumped by a group of fucking kids when I had a broken leg. I had a cast on my leg. I was on crutches. I was outside, and about 10 kids came and beat the fucking shit out of me. Right in my front yard, right in front of my fucking dad. And my dad's just like, I mean, we were outnumbered, it happened, and he's like, well, you got to learn to defend yourself better. Right? I mean, like, just,
Having had a broken leg, that had to be horrible.
Right, it was not fucking ideal, although I got that one motherfucker with the crutch. and, like, I mean, so we saw plenty of shit, right? I mean, and we kept our nose clean for the most part, but, this idea that I can't be empathetic to a cause just because I'm not directly under the thumb or under the spotlight or under the pressure of the issue, like, that's not how it works. Right? Like,
that's a garbage argument.
Right. It's a completely garbage argument, right? And I'm not saying that I'm the one oppressed at this moment. I'm not saying that I've ever been oppressed. You know, was I in the perfect situation all the time? No. Did I have to deal with certain shitty circumstances? Yes. Did I have to deal with bad situations with the police? Yes, I did, but I think I handled them appropriately. Did I think it was fair? No. Was it fair? No. Was it legal in some instances? No. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm oppressed. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm afraid, but I am going to tell you that I can advocate for and work for the necessary changes within the in various systems to try to prevent some of those things from happening to other people, right? Yes, those people have to do their part in terms of their decision making and their life choices and how they live their lives. But at the same time, if you're going to sit here and say that we don't have serious systemic issues, right? And then you're going to get mad at me for actually being involved in them on a consistent basis, trying to impact them, then honestly, just fuck off.
I completely agree. And I'm going to try to say this as carefully as I can, but whenever people say, well, you, like people say to me, like, why do you care about Black Lives Matter? You're not black. It's never affected you. You're right. I'm not.
That's however, kind of a problem.
Right. Well, that is part of the problem. But also, the same people will be advocating for animal rights. I'm like, well, you're not a dog.
You're not a cat.
Right.
You're not a lemur.
So are you wrong for not, like, you know, when you donate to a commercial for Sarah McLachlan singing sad songs, you see starving puppies, are you wrong for caring about starving animals? No, you're not. And caring about humans, to me, way above caring about animals. No disrespect. I love pets. I also am a hunter, so when I can't really say I hunt animals,
because
I
do.
I know, I get it all the time. Like, people say, why don't you love animals? I'm like, I'm not saying I do or don't, but I do go out of my way to put arrows in them. So I can't exactly call myself an animal lover. Now, I also do that to feed myself. And I always say, if you that offends you and you're a vegetarian, I say, well, dairy is worse than anything I do. And if you're a vegan, I just don't care what you have to say.
That's not nice.
It's not nice. I'm not, hey.
There's only nice vegans out there.
There are, and you'll hear them. All right, brother, we're at 110, so we should probably shut this
down. Shut it down.
At Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email me. Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email him. Thanks for listening. Sorry for going a bit long, but really sorry, not sorry. Thanks again. We're out.